If men are going to speak about Jesus, it is imperative that they speak about the right one, or the real Jesus, the one whom God sent. Just as Romans 2:28 affirms, there are some Jews who are not really Jews. In 2 Peter 2:1, Peter declares that there are some prophets who are not real prophets, but false prophets, and some teachers who are not real teachers, but false teachers. There are also some who are preaching a Jesus who is not the real Jesus. In Matthew 24:24, Jesus said that false Christs would arise. These Christs are declared and propagated by those who have embraced them. In the Scriptures, false propagators are referred to as false prophets, 1 John 4:1, or false teachers, 2 Peter 2:1, or false apostles, 2 Corinthians 11:13. These are those whom God did not send, as He declared in Jeremiah 14:14-15. They deliver a message God did not give, as declared in Jeremiah 23:25. And they proclaim a Jesus that is not the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is not a matter of conjecture. The church at Corinth had plummeted into carnality because they had embraced another Jesus. Addressing this circumstance, Paul wrote, "But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear well with him." This condition has been multiplied in our generation to a point where it is staggering. In 1 John 4:1, John the Apostle warned believers that many false prophets are gone out into the world. He's not referring to the mere proliferation of particular dogmas pertaining to life in this world and duties toward God. In its very essence, false doctrine has immediate reference to the person of Christ, the word of the gospel, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 1:4 reveals that the real Jesus was sent to deliver us from this present evil world. 1 John 3:8 states that the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 4:9 affirms that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The real Jesus, we are apprised in Hebrews 1:9, has been anointed by God because He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Another Jesus is one who came into the world for different reasons, has a different attitude towards sin, and will come again for different reasons and in a different manner. If the Jesus that is actually embraced does not deliver a person from the world, destroy the devil's work, and move the person to live for the Lord, he cannot be the real Jesus. It simply is not possible. Lest anyone miss the point, let me underscore the nature of another Jesus. A Jesus who is not real, but is only a figment of the imagination. No one can afford to be mistaken or naive on this point. Another Jesus cannot save sinners, as stated in 1 Timothy 1:15, cannot remit sin, as stated in Colossians 2:13, cannot justify, as stated in Acts 13:39, and cannot cause the new birth, as stated in 1 Peter 1:3. Another Jesus cannot bring us to God, as stated in 1 Peter 3:18, cannot guide one in the ways of the Lord, as stated in Isaiah 40:11, and cannot bring grace to the individual, as stated in Acts 15:11. Another Jesus cannot mediate the new covenant, as stated in Hebrews 12:24, cannot intercede for those who are coming to God, as stated in Hebrews 7:25, and cannot make peace with God, as stated in Colossians 1:20. Another Jesus cannot make baptism effective, as stated in Romans 6:4 and 5, cannot cause grace to reign through righteousness, as stated in Romans 5:21, and cannot reconcile men to God, as stated in Ephesians 2:14-16. Another Jesus cannot fill men with the fruits of righteousness, as stated in Philippians 1:11, cannot make their sacrifices acceptable to God, as stated in 1 Peter 2:5, and cannot cause the church to bring glory to Christ, as stated in Ephesians 2:3-21. The death, burial, and purported resurrection of another Jesus are all powerless, meaningless, and vain. If the things that Jesus is declared to be doing are not found in a professing believer, then something is fundamentally wrong. It is not enough to say that he's been accepted as Savior, but is yet to be received as Lord. That is nothing but theological double talk. Every place where the words Lord and Savior are applied to Jesus, they generally appear in this order, Lord and Savior. That phrase is found four times in the book of 2 Peter. The point is that it is not possible to accept Jesus as Savior without first receiving Him as Lord. If there is a person or a church that makes the claim to have accepted Jesus and be following Him, yet that individual or group of individuals are lacking the evidence of having experienced the benefits ministered by the real Jesus, then one of two conditions exists. Either they have misrepresented their relationship with Jesus, or they have embraced a false Christ, another Jesus, as Paul would say. There really are no other alternatives here. In the case of the real Jesus, all the things declared to come from Him are, in some degree, in those who actually have embraced Him. The presence and measure of those realities are in direct proportion to their faith in the real Christ. Jesus said, "A tree is known by its fruit." Here are His words, as recorded in Matthew 7, 17 and 18. "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Now, the ultimate good tree is Jesus Himself. He's the fir tree and myrtle tree of Isaiah's prophecy found in Isaiah 55:13. "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Jesus cannot produce bad fruit. Whatever the explanation may be for seriously flawed and even immoral Christians, they were not produced by Jesus. Those who are created in Christ bear His traits, and those traits will grow and flourish as time progresses. Speaking over 1,500 years before the coming of the seed of the woman promised in Genesis 3:14, Moses was given a prophecy about the Messiah. That prophecy contains several key considerations. It is found in Deuteronomy 18:15-19. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." In Acts 3:23, Peter, referring to this very prophecy, said, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet will be destroyed from among the people." Allow me to briefly summarize these words found in Deuteronomy 18:15-19. First, God Himself would raise up a prophet. Second, the prophet would be raised up for the people. Third, he would be raised up from among the people. Fourth, he would be a prophet like Moses who brought the word of God to the people. Fifth, God would put His words in the mouth of this prophet. Sixth, the prophet would speak all that God commanded him to say to the people. Seventh, the people would hearken or give heed to this prophet. Eighth, whoever failed to hearken to this prophet would be destroyed by God. Now, permit me to draw some preliminary observations. God was the one who raised up this prophet. That prophet would not have come if God did not raise him up. His entrance into the world was not of the natural order. He did not come in response to the request of men. The fact that God raised him up confirms that his coming is associated with a purpose. For God, as Ezekiel affirms in Ezekiel 14:23, does nothing without a cause. Because of the purpose for which the prophet was sent into the world, he would be raised up from among the people. This was in order that he might be touched with the condition of the people, as Hebrews 4:15 affirms, and that the people might more readily understand him. In the capacity of a prophet, Jesus Christ would be known for what he said, for prophets always have a message, else there's no need for them. John states that Jesus is come and hath given us an understanding that we might know him that is true. 1 John 5:20. In administering this understanding, Jesus proves to be the expositor of God himself. That is, he reveals the identity and manners of God the Father. In Matthew 11:27, Jesus himself said, "Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Further, Jesus declared that when he spoke, he said precisely what the Father told him to say. John 7:16 says, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." And again, Jesus said in John 8:28, "As my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." In John 8:40, Jesus described himself as a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from God. It is to be understood that what this prophet says is relevant to the people and their true needs. Further, his words are not driven by human need, but by divine will. In this case, true need is defined by God, not man. This means that no person to whom this prophet speaks is at liberty to determine if his words are actually relevant and crucial. The fact that God has sent this prophet confirms that it is incumbent that men listen to him. God's view of men will ultimately be determined by their response to this prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses declared that the people shall hearken to him. For some, the question here is whether Moses means the people will be obligated to hear this prophet, or that hearing this prophet will be evidential in nature, confirming they are the real people of God. In this series of messages, I will affirm the latter, that the real people of God do hearken, give heed to, and have a preference for what the Lord Jesus says. I will affirm that a failure to give heed to the real Jesus is, in fact, confirmation that the individual is not accepted by God. Moses said this prophet, the Lord Jesus, would be raised up by God himself. There will never be another Savior for the world. There is no moral or spiritual requirement that has not been thoroughly met in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is because God raised him up. That is, he sent him into the world, has given him prominence, and deposited all required resources in him. People who have an understanding are not seeking anywhere else for an answer to the human dilemma, or any of its many facets. The total answer has been already provided in Jesus Christ. We are told that God has spoken to us through his Son. Hebrews 1:2 reads, "God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." God is not speaking to men through politicians, psychiatrists, motivators, historians, sociologists, or scholars. He's speaking to us through his Son. The only valid word pertaining to life and godliness is one that originates with and in Jesus Christ. God has mandated that we hear Jesus, giving our concentrated attention to what he says. When Jesus was transfigured before three of his disciples, they had not yet seen Jesus as God's exalted and solitary spokesman. It was at that time that God himself thundered from heaven with these words recorded in Matthew 17:5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Jesus is not competing with Moses and the prophets, for their essential message focused on his coming. The only valid message is one in which Jesus himself is unmistakably prominent. Therefore, it is written in Revelation 19:10, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is to prophecy what the spirit is to the body." In view of that, listener, give ear to him. Hear, people. Hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says.